So how do you choose your wine? For lots of people, it's not what is in the bottle, but it's on the bottle, or indeed the bottle itself. A picture of a chateau on the front apparently goes down a treat, as well as it being a kind of heavy bottle and also a cork rather than a screw top. So we thought we would explore what is the best way to select your wine. Joining me now is Honey Spencer, Wine Director of the Palamore Group. Good morning, Honey.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Lucy Dunn, who is a final year medical student at Glasgow University, also editor of the Glasgow Guardian. Good morning to Lucy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you look at any of these things? A nice chateau on the front of the label, does that do it for you?
Yes, I think, to be honest, I'm very bad for judging wine on its aesthetic. I love eye-catching, quirky designs in the bottle, elaborate sort of embossed labels and colour schemes just completely sway me whenever I walk into a wine shop.
I am totally with you, I have to say. I would avoid the chateau, funnily enough, because that doesn't draw me in, but there's a certain kind of label that I will just say, oh, that looks nice, and I've no idea what it's going to taste like. Not a clue.
Yeah, I think that's part of my issue as well. I have a vague understanding of which grapes are like, and I have even vague understanding of the regions, but I know that I can trust my judgment when it comes to what I like visually.
And does it ever let you down, or is it usually quite reliable?
I think I have definitely been let down. I've definitely spent a wee bit too much on a bottle that looks lovely and does tick all the boxes on paper of what I would like to see on a design, but definitely has not been to my taste.
Yeah, well, it is kind of potluck, isn't it? I mean, thankfully, most wine these days is generally pretty nice. So, as you say, it might not be to your taste, but we usually finish the bottle. But, Honey, how should we be choosing our wine? If we're not in the position that you are, well, I mean, you know, Lucy's saying that she vaguely kind of knows a bit about wine. I know less than that. If you're not a connoisseur, how do you judge?
I do really empathise with the chateau. You know, this bit of research that's come up that says that people, you know, really trust the idea of a chateau. I do get it. You know, it instills this picture of this confidence in the buyer. You picture this kind of iconic estate with a family that have been perfecting the craft of making wine for generations. You know, they must really know what they're doing. And I think if you're dinner party, a beautiful bottle with, like Lucy said, that kind of embossed label, it makes you seem like you know what you're doing and you know what you're talking about. But I guess, like anything, it can be misleading. I think, you know, winemakers are investing more and more now into the design of their labels, and so they should be, because, you know, we eat with our eyes first, and that, you know, applies to going to restaurants or you know, many different things. I think, how do you choose a good bottle of wine? I would say, you know, the new generation of wine connoisseurs, whether they work in a wine shop or a supermarket or a restaurant, they really, really do actually want to help you find a good bottle of wine for your budget. I would say just being honest with how much you want to spend. Any sommelier will try and get you the best bottle of wine or for what you have. So I think just a little bit more communication. And I think as a nation, we are a bit scared of maybe saying much we want to spend or maybe kind of saying what we like in a wine because we feel like we might look or sound stupid. But I mean, that's really not the case. I mean, we're all learning all the time.
So let's start with the price then. How reliable an indicator is the price?
Well, when I first entered the wine industry about 10 years ago, just from a value perspective, they used to say that you couldn't buy a good bottle of wine for less than £5, because, you know, you've got to make the wine, you've got to put it in a bottle, you've got to transport it. And, you know, now, 10 years later, you know, duty per bottle is, I think, £2.23. So you're already paying, someone's already paying £2.23 to get it into the country. And then, you know, you've got to make the wine, pay the pickers a fair wage, etc. Price generally is a good indicator. What I would say is I think some of the more unknown wines you can grab a bit of a bargain because people, supermarkets and restaurants, they do up the price slightly when it comes to recognisable labels or regions because they know people are going to put their trust and put their money effectively behind, you know, these more established regions or varietals or labels. So you can always get a bit more bang for your buck if you're going to go a little bit off the beaten track in terms of trying something that you haven't before.
People do tell, well, I'm saying I do. I don't know about Lucy, do you? Do you have a kind of price range that you kind of don't go below, but also you don't go above?
Yes, I would say so. It does tend to vary depending on the occasion that I'm buying for. But I'm actually really bad for completely blocking out wines that are below a certain price range, purely because I just, again, it's probably come down to knowledge as well. I just discount them for likely not tasting as nice as I'm expecting. But again, it's a range that does vary depending on when I'm buying for.
How high do you go? I hyperventilate when we get above £10.
I think the most I've probably spent on a bottle of wine has probably been around about the £16 to £18 mark.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
It's hyperventilating.
I mean, it paid off at that point in time. It did actually taste very nice.
What's the sweet spot price wise, honey, do you think?
Do you know what? I actually conferred with quite a few people ahead of this segment, and I think probably starting at about £10, you know, just from the point of view, it is an artisanal product, you know, and if you want it to be coming from, you know, a sustainably farmed vineyard and, you know, being made by people that have paid the correct wage and, you know, prices.
Oh, you're guilt tripping me now. I'm going to have to go for 11 quid.
But I think probably £9 is where it starts. You know, you can get a good, you know, bottle of wine.
Yeah, and at what point do you just say, oh, you've just been silly, you're just flashing your cash around now?
I don't know, you're asking the wrong person. but I do know, I start to hyperventilate if I'm spending £25 or more, because it is a big risk. Wine is an investment, and if you're going to go somewhere, you know, or take it to a dinner party and it's not what you expect, then, you know, there's more than just your money on the line. It could be your pride and your ego as well. So I do completely empathise.
Your reputation's on the line. And then the other thing, which has obviously become more of a talking point, is cork or screw top, because many, many bottles now are a screw top rather than a cork. You always kind of associate the cork with being a fine wine. Is that fair?
Oh, do you know what? The cork conversation is so multifaceted and it's been going on for so long now. And I don't think even within the industry we've truly made up our mind about whether cork or screw cap. Cork, wines under cork generally are seen as wines that can age, you know, beyond 5 years. But actually, the majority of the wine that's made and consumed these days is consumed, you know, younger than 5 years. So that really goes some way to explaining the increase in popularity of things like the screw cap. But I have to say, it is tricky because, you know, wine is still a luxury product. And, you know, if you're serving a bottle of wine and a screw cap, it just takes away a little bit from that romance and that magic that we associate with wine. But on the flip side, you know, if you're buying a bottle of wine under screw cap, you are reducing the chance of TCA, or what we commonly call cork taint, which is a bit of a relief to people, because I think a lot of consumers, particularly if they've bought a wine in a wine shop, might not be able to know what a corked wine tastes like, and definitely might not have the confidence to take it back to the shop. So actually, in that sense, you've almost wasted your money.
Mm. And wine in a box, would you judge me, honey?
No, do you know what? I wouldn't. There's a bag-in-box is really coming back, actually, and even some free premium wines being put in bag and box, and dare I say it, cans now.
There's a can of wine, not in Scotland. Not in Scotland, Lucy. You couldn't do it, could you?
Oh, I don't know. Never say never.
Are you cork or screw, Lucy?
Again, I find it quite difficult. I think that I would usually associate going cork with a more premium wine, but again, sometimes that is usually out with my price range. So it really depends. But I do agree with how, like, it does add to the experience, you know, the whole opening the cork, and it makes it a bit more special.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, isn't it, honey? You're just saying so much of it is our perceptions. And I wonder if in countries that are perhaps more familiar with wines, I mean, I know we produce wines in the UK as well, but we're not really seen as a wine-producing country. But I wonder if, I don't know, Italy or France or whatever, they're less hung up on the label, less hung up on the kind of snobbery around it, and are more tuned into just what is a decent wine.
I think you're right. I've had this philosophy for a while. Like you said, we are obviously making wine in this country now, and it's, you know, but it is a very, very young industry. And I think countries which have been making wine for a very long time, I feel like there's just a little bit more of kind of innate confidence and yeah, just they know a little bit more about wine, so they feel more comfortable, you know, navigating that quite tricky world of wine labels and ultimately drinking things that they like and that are maybe a little bit different, but you know, they've got that confidence level. Now, I do agree on that completely.
Lovely to speak to you, honey. Thank you very much indeed. Honey Spencer, wine director of the Palomar Group, and Lucy Dunn. Never be seen with a tin of wine, Lucy. I'm just that's my personal opinion. In Glasgow, it's not a good look. Hayley's here to tell us what's coming up at 12 o'clock.